Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 415th episode, part two of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with me is just the most knowledgeable man ever, R. Sigma.
Hello.
And we are here to bring you our review of Pokemon Sword and Shield. And this is a bit different than our typical episodes because for those of you who are unaware, we're Puckle, the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we made up in 2007. We talk everything Pokemon from the video game to the trading card game, and obviously it's video game season. and so we're talking about Sword and Shield today. And yesterday we had an episode that was more spoiler-free. It only went up to the fourth badge in Sword and Shield. Today, Sigma and I are going to break it down. We're going to go into the first eight badges all the way up until that point before you go and you battle whatever elite something.
Yeah, we'll go up to the end of the 8th badge when we get all the stuff in the wild area unlocked.
Because this is just kind of us to talk about what's going on in the game and how we feel about it and our impressions. And so we have a nice little outline, and we're just going to go through each part. And so I think the first thing we're going to break down, so welcome to the show again if you're new. Welcome back if you're old. You probably found us new this week, actually. And so we definitely have different programming. We will be back to normal next week. There's going to also be another episode out tomorrow that's going to go full spoilers for you. So go ahead and listen to that if you want full spoilers. And those guys are probably going to freak out about certain Pokemon and stuff like that.
So, I mean, you can get all of the Pokemon before or after.
That is true.
Before you, the AGM. So we don't have anything off limits.
That's true. We have nothing off limits. Except for, like, I guess the legendaries to an extent.
There's like, that's it.
But on that note, let's just jump into it because it's me and you. I feel like you and I have you and I are on the same page with, I want to preface this with the lens that I am personally looking it through. The lens I'm looking at it through because I am not the biggest fan or supporter of Dexit in quotes. I do not support it. I do not think it's a good decision, but because we run this podcast, I did purchase the game just so we could stay relevant and we can have fun with the community. Because I really do appreciate the community and I like what we've built here. And it's still a Pokemon game. So, like, I knew I wasn't going to hate it. Right.
Yeah. There's a certain floor that a Pokemon game has.
Yeah. And I think you and I talked about this a lot beforehand. Particularly, we both said that, we wanted to give it a shot. Mm-hmm. We want to see what a world without all the Pokemon is like.
It's not too different from what we've had before in some cases, like before Bank and XY, or we just knew they were coming at some point, though.
Yes. I think the difference also is that we've had something similar to this happen and mm-hmm. in other things. And I think that's where we are with it. So let's go ahead and just break it down. And I want to put that lens there so people know that I do have some inherent bias. And I'm probably going to be looking at this game a little bit more critically than I would any other game in the series. Because the big things that I really want to hit on, I have an outline, and at the end, I really want to go in and just kind of compare it to previous Pokemon games and see how it matches up. So first, the introduction, I would say the first 2 hours of the game up until Wild Area. I think that's what I want to talk about here, Sigma.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure you have a very similar impression.
Probably.
I'll just go ahead. So my impression, 1000% after, because I followed the news, obviously, and I went into a lot of it, and I saw that there was no tutorial and that tutorials were skippable. And once I play the game, I feel very lied to after that, because I don't know how you play the first 90 minutes of that game. And you probably just make it to the wild area, and it's not your fault. It is definitely the game, because I like the first 90 minutes is the trainer school from Sun and Moon, no matter how what way you put it. Like, it is the trainer school from Sun and Moon. I feel you probably feel the same way.
Yeah, it gave you a little more agency. Like, I like how they tried to teach you about how type effectiveness works with the hop battle.
Instead that was giving, a good. That was good.
Yeah, like killing you KO the Wooloo, you level up, you get your type advantage move instead of how it's been lately, where they just give you the type advantage move to start with.
I thought it was a really fresh take on that, and yeah. I really like that. I did really like that part, but the problem with it was still that, like, I don't know, Sun and Moon had a lot of cutscenes.
Yeah,
but I think this one had more cutscenes.
It might have.
I think it had more cutscenes. Maybe it was more, but they were shorter. I think that might be the only difference. Like, I haven't finished the game. I think you have.
Yes.
The one thing that really disappointed me from Sun and Moon was like the 10-minute cutscene at the end.
Yes.
I'm hoping we don't have that again. But you can don't tell me. I want to be disappointed on my own. But introduction. That's kind of I wasn't very thrilled with it. I was very upset by it because I had been like gearing up to being like, man, this is going to be great. I can skip the tutorial. And like, at least I did get to skip like the teach me how to catch a Pokemon and teach me about type effectiveness, teach me about the Pokedex, you know?
Yeah.
But it didn't really speed things up. Yeah. Right, go ahead.
Yeah. It didn't really. It was nice to have so many Pokemon to catch right at the beginning, especially
that's
new
true.
Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like, Route 1 was covered in new Pokemon. I think they had 4 or 5 Pokemon on that route.
Yeah.
And most of them were not revealed officially either. It's like Wooloo.
Yeah, that was very good. It was like Wooloo, Blipbug.
Rookity was there.
Rookity was great. I love Rookity.
Nickit.
Nickit's there. That is a very terrible name. on so many levels. And then I think there's also one more. I forget who it is though, because there are 5, because you do get 5 Pokeballs, so you can like catch one of each essentially.
Yeah.
On that first route.
Because I caught the glowing aura Rookity instead of a my first
time
through.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that was probably one of the more frustrating things. Like, you get those 5 Pokeballs, but you can't beat them. You can't buy any more after that for a little while.
It's also just kind of shoved in there, and you don't realize you get those 5 Pokeballs.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize it because I was just trying to get through because, honestly, my least favorite thing is tutorial in these Pokemon games. Like, I remember being visibly frustrated during the Sun and Moon Trainer School. And then again, when Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon came out, visibly frustrated by Trainer School. And that honestly is just one experience that really kills the replayability for me in those games. Is just because I'm like, oh man, I really don't want to go through 2-hour Trainer School. I wish it was kind of like Fire Emblem Fates, where you could like click the skip button on the first 5 chapters. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I could just be like, oh, skip this intro.
Skip
that intro.
Because once you hit the wild area, it really opens up the game.
It really does. I think let's just skip over to that. So Wild Area, I think, is hands down the reason to play this game. Like, hands down. I am sad. I would give it like perfect 10 out of 10. But there's several things that I think are problems with it. One, I think they memed in the tree texture from June. I really do. Because on Reddit, people have shown that you can just swap the textures in the code and it fixes it. and they literally just did it, and it took them like 5 minutes to swap the textures and fixed all the trees. All the trees look better.
After reading the Gen 7 Pokedex entries, I believe that.
I believe they just memed it. I honestly believe they just memed it hard. And the other one is, I think that they just meet. So with the tree textures, I think that's one part. And then the other thing is, there's like, if you're online in the wild area and then happens, the game chugs like crazy. Like, I'm not one that really cares about game lag typically, but this was like noticeable and affects my experience.
My game has crashed in the wild area before.
Really?
Like, wow. It just shut down. It's like, sorry, we can't run this anymore, and just exits out of the game completely. And so luckily, autosave was on, so I didn't lose much progress, but...
I am a real big proponent of, like, everything that happens in this game, in Wild Area and everything. Like, I think Wild Area is probably the best part of this entire game.
Yeah, and I hope they can figure out how to fix it and make it able to go in future games without, like, feeling awkward. Like,
yes, I think what they have to do is Wild Area, I think, is underutilized personally in this game.
Oh, definitely.
I think it's underutilized. I think it's not that I want every route to be that like this, because no. I do appreciate traditional routes, but I wish that it connected more towns together than like the three that it does. And I really wish it was like, oh, hey, you need to go this way in the Wild Area. And maybe even like have some roadblocks, like don't give me access to the whole thing right away.
I was amazed you could go across that bridge right away. I was expecting something to be blocking it.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would block something so that it's just like, oh, you can't explore the whole thing yet. There's still more to discover. And it's like, oh, cool, let me go do the story. But no, it's like, hey, let's go do raids like right now and nothing else. So it was a little awkward for me. But other than that, I think Wild Area, hands down, best part of this game, like solid, probably with all of the issues that it has right now. Just like, cause it's just gameplay wise. And like, I think seeing the Pokemon in person, I'm not sure what the longevity of this is going to be, mostly because after you play the game a little bit, the Wild Area does seem kind of small.
Kind of. Yeah.
And you do realize that after a little bit, like I've already started to realize it, but at the same time, I haven't caught everything there yet. And I haven't really spent a lot of time there raiding yet. And yeah, I mean, after a while, it's probably gonna be like, okay, this is kind of small. The novelty's kind of worn off. I've already caught you, Ghastly. I've already caught you, Steelix. You know, the other thing that does bother me, and I'm sure you've noticed this, is that particular Pokemon have particular spawn points.
Yes, and it's all weather based too, so you have to wait a day. For instance, they have some soft exclusives in this game. So like Growlithe, you can't easily find when you're playing Pokemon Sword. But today, for instance, it was sunny in an area Growlithe spawned. So my Pokedex is like, hey, you should go catch a Growlithe. And I was happy.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. And it's, I mean, but you notice like things like Lucario and Snorlax are always kind of spawn in the same place. And you start to notice this after a while.
Yeah, well, once you get all 8 badges, then a bunch of third stage evolutions show up on the map too.
That's true.
So like you'll find Gengar, Dusknoir. I think you find those earlier anyway too. But Serena shows up. Grimmsnarl will show up. So
yes, absolutely.
And they also level everything up to 60 once you hit 8 badges as well.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is pretty good though. Like I think, like I said, this is the highlight of the game.
Oh yeah. It's a great little it was a great little test to show everyone. Yeah, you can continue this. Work on this, figure out how to make this into your next game.
The only thing is, like, I really like raids. I think raids, and I said this like way before. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but like way before raids were announced in Sword and Shield, I said the next way they take Pokemon to the next level is they offer a co-op experience. And my model was a little bit different because I was like, hey, we could do like budge crunching contests together or something like that.
Yeah.
I think this is definitely a step in that direction, and I think it's actually really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm a big fan. I am a really, really big fan.
Yeah.
But I hope it doesn't disappear next gen because Dynamax is a gimmick.
I do wish that they'd figure out like better online though, because the passcodes are annoying.
I think the passcodes are annoying. I really wish there was a way just so you could set everything already to friends only. Like, yes. I'm only spitting out to friends.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what they're trying to go for. They're trying to go for like a more PSS type route, but even PSS had like a column for friends and a column for not friends.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to be established. Obviously they're not going to fix it now. Right. No. It's a little bit too in.
But just going forward, it's like...
I wish they would.
It's a step up from Let's Go. I'm not sure if it's a step up from Festival Plaza, just because it's so hard to find your friends if you want to battle or trade.
I don't think it's terrible. I think right now the servers are probably chugging. And I'd give it like a month, you know?
Yeah.
Wait for the hype to die down, because our experience is over launch weekend, which is going to be the heaviest time for the servers. Yeah.
Because we were trying to set up trades, and oh my goodness, it's very hard to right now.
It gets sniped. And so,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had that issue when I was trying to trade with Claude. He was trying to give me a leak.
Mm-hmm.
And I, so like with that, when that happened, like I set up, like I set up a very particular code. It wasn't like an easy code. And then it got some, I got connected to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
I think that's probably the most, I mean, I understand why they did it, because honestly, one of the, I think they're trying to navigate around friend codes.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, because friend codes are to this day and still always will be the most annoying part of any Nintendo console. Because it's just really frustrating to have to enter in a 12-digit number for your friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I realized that my name wasn't on the Puckle Switch sheet for the longest time until this weekend. And I'm like, man, there's like 50 people and I have to sit here and type in 50 12-digit numbers.
At least it's a one-way code this time and not both That's people true. Having to fill
that,
it in.
That is true. At least that happened. But like, I mean, come on, guys. Like, Xbox had this figured out with gamer tags.
Yes.
Like, we can do it again with Nintendo IDs. Like, you even have us do it with Nintendo IDs,
mm-hmm.
which I think makes it worse.
Yeah, and they upped the friend count to 300, I believe, too.
So. Yes, which is nice. Oh my gosh, is that nice.
Considering the 100 on DS, oh, I was deleting people.
Yes. I think from here, we should just talk about starters, because I don't know if they got to it on the last one, but...
I think they all picked Sobble.
Well, they all picked Sobble. I don't care about that. But I don't know if they all got to their final evolutions by Gym 4.
Mm.
It's you probably do by Gym 4, honestly. But
yeah.
I don't want to speak for them, because I know a few of them. So, well, I know all of them. But who did you pick? I know it, I know who you picked, actually. But
yeah,
go ahead.
I picked Scorbunny, and the starter is fine. It's very fast and very high attack, and its signature move is very strong in that it's like 120 base power with 90 accuracy physical attack.
Wow, so, that's nice.
Yeah, it lucked out on its signature move.
Yeah, I started with Sobble, and so I ended up with Inteleon.
Mm-hmm.
Cinderace was the final level. The only thing that I think is really cool about Inteleon is like it is. I'm a little bothered by it too, because they used to come up with like really cool and like descriptions for biology. And I don't know what the description for biology with Inteleon is, because it shoots the water out of its fingers so that it can be a spy and it can like make finger guns. And that's the whole point. And it gets signature move is Snipe Shot, which is like, I think it's 80 base power.
80. And it like avoids redirection.
It,
I believe
it avoids redirection, which is okay. Kind of. I mean, I don't know who has redirection this gen. To be fair, I think it's like Clefable.
There's Clefable, Togekiss.
Yeah, I don't know who else gets Follow Me this gen, because I think Rage Powder's out with Amoongus being gone. And so that I find a little weird, but it could work. I don't know. It's a cool move, like just the animation, because I know Cinderace also has like a cool little custom animation for the signature move.
The custom animation for those moves are really well done compared.
And then the other one's Rillaboom, but neither of us picked it, so who cares?
No. How do you feel about the monotype starters again?
I'm not a fan. Like, I'm not a real big fan of monotype, like Final Evolutions, because we just came out of two gens with, like, fantastic dual typing. Like, two gens. Like, Gen 6 and Gen 7 were both fantastic. I think they kind of did it because a lot of this game and a lot of what's in it, because we're about to get to some not so great things about this game. granted, it's still a Pokemon game, and I do want to make that clear, because there are plenty of battling Pokemon and catching Pokemon are just fun. But there are definitely some bad things about this game that I do want to kind of complain about like a little bit. But in terms of monotype starters, I think it's because my theory, and this is probably wrong, but my theory and my headcanon for it so I don't feel like it's a terrible decision, was that it's a new art director.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of like, hey, just make the monotype all the way through. It's your first time. Make it work out.
Right? I could see that being a possibility, yeah.
Because I think even in like Gen 1, I don't think Charizard got the flying type until Yellow version.
I think it had it, but...
I don't remember. You could be completely correct.
I mean, Bulbasaur had poison all the way through. So
it did, but that I think that was because every grass type Pokemon had poison in Gen 1. Except for like Tangela. I think every single grass type Pokemon except for Tangela had it. It was, and Exeggutor. I think those are the only two. Only two lines.
I think which was, so, yeah.
Yeah, because like Bulbasaur, Oddish, Bellsprout. Yeah, it's pretty bad. But outside of that, I don't know. I think that's probably why. I don't know. How about you? How do you feel about the monotype?
I was really disappointed when we saw that come out, like, leak night.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no. I would have preferred firefighting to that.
Honestly, you're not wrong. I would have preferred that.
It's been a long time since we've had a firefighting type. I don't hate them.
I think it would have been interesting because, like, you can kind of see in each of the designs, like, a second typing almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I could see a ghost type on Inteleon.
Exactly. I could see ghost type on Inteleon very easily. Cinderace, I feel like you could, if you change the design like a little bit, and I said this a long time ago, you could make it fire electric and that'd be really cool.
I would have been a fan of that.
I think it'd be really, just like as a cool typing, I think it would have been really, because like you could have him be the Energizer bunny that kicks soccer balls. Like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then Rillaboom is probably the only one I can see being like straight grass. You can maybe give him a fighting typing.
Mm-hmm. Fighting typing, dark typing.
Dark might have worked actually too, yeah.
Because they give it knockoff through level up. So.
Yeah, I think that would have been really cool. Like, all of that would have been really cool. I think it was missed opportunities, but I think it was, I don't know, a lot of this game feels like they're kind of playing it safe.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of unfinished ideas as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I guess this is a good segue to story now. to story and the gyms, because I'm going to be flat out honest. I dislike this game. Story wise, for the most part, I really dislike it. Just because, one, it's very monotonous. Because Team Yell isn't really an evil team. They're just like battles you have along the way.
I mean, there was a point in the story where they're blocking a bridge and a grandma's walking by and they're like, oh yeah, you can go by, you're not a challenger.
That was kind of silly. That was like the silliest thing.
Yeah, it's like they are a nuisance to only a very specific small group of people.
And that's you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like one, they're an evil team. I just thought they were a group of people who were doing shenanigans. Like, they were kind of like Team Skull Light.
Yeah, they were Team Skull too. It's like Team Skull wasn't not evil enough. So
yeah, and Team Skull was more evil than Team Yell. And I don't think Team Yell really got its fleshed out like arc or anything, which is really disappointing.
I think
they did a good job with Bead. I think Bead is probably the only of your three rivals that like really got fleshed out well and had like a really cool arc, at least thus far. Because I know there's a finishing. I know there's a set, like a ending part that you guys get to fill out. And I don't want to spoil it, but up until the eighth badge, it's pretty well hinted at.
I think
it's a good arc. I like the arc.
Yeah, from the end of the third badge up to the end of the fifth badge, I think that was a very fun arc to watch Bead go through.
I think Bead had a really good arc. Marnie, I think, needed fleshed out more because this is going to get to my least favorite part. So most of the gyms, I think, are done okay. Like, I think Turfield Gym is fine. I think Hullberry Gym is fine. I think Modestoke Gym is fine. I think those honestly are the three best gyms. You played Sword, right? Yes.
Yeah, I played Sword, but they're the exact same puzzles. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but when I talked about the fourth gym, you get Bead, and I get
yeah,
Alistair.
I get Bead, you get Alistair, but it's the puzzle's the same.
Is it really? Do you still go in a pot?
It's going
in.
Yeah, the teacup going down the pachinko machine. I was very
literally
disappointed.
They reused that.
Yeah, the same thing with the sixth gym where you're in like the snow field where we're in a sand field.
What?
I was disappointed.
What? That's so, oh my gosh, I didn't know that until just now. I am so disappointed because I thought they'd at least have different gym challenges, especially after seeing Alistair's. Because
they were pushing it so hard that they're different gym leaders, and it's like, because, oh, and that's the only difference.
Well, because I saw Alistair's gym, and like you get into the cup, and I go, oh, Poltegeist is a ghost-type Pokemon. And the cup you get in looks like a Poltegeist pot. And I was just like, oh, that's really cute. I can't wait to do like my replay of Sword and like see what's different. And now you've just ruined my day.
Yeah, they changed the coloring and
Oh my gosh, I am blown away. I can kind of understand the ground and ice typing. In Silchester.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, rock. Yeah, it's rock. You can tell which ones actually have gyms very easily by like going to try to buy the gym uniforms. Mm-hmm. And when you go there and you try to buy it and it shows you what types are which, first of all, I think this is another missed opportunity that I kind of, so I like that they give you little gym badges that fill in a ring because it's different. Mm-hmm. But I also miss my traditional gym badges that I can like collect in a case and like put on my wall in my room when I buy the official replicas. Because they like each gym has that symbol.
Yeah.
That would make a badge, but it's not that. But they put that symbol on all of the jerseys. And when you go to go buy the jerseys that aren't in the game, the other 10 types, mm-hmm. You can tell that Fighting and Rock have gyms in Sword. Because if mm-hmm. you look at those have like those fleshed out, like these are gym badges symbols. Mm-hmm. And everything else just doesn't have that.
Everything else is more overly designed. And
yes, exactly. And so you can tell. That's also how you can tell that there's a dark type gym, like right away, because they were just like, hey, dark type gym, first one ever.
I did like the introduction back at the beginning of the game, where mm-hmm. you go to the ceremony yes. and watch all the gym leaders walk in. That was really cool. It's like, here are the bosses you have to beat.
Yes, I thought that was cool. I think a lot in the early game was very well done, mm-hmm. Minus the constant hop battles. because you do battle hop, like this is no joke. Like you, and they probably complained about it last game or last show, but you battle hop so many times. I battled hop 4 times and had 1 gym badge.
My favorite hop battle was after the 5th gym, when you walk out of what's it called, Hammerlock, to the right. He battles you again, I believe, and he's like, mm-hmm. "Okay, we'll battle again after the battle in Sirchester."
Yeah,
it's like, "Oh, cool, we're scheduling our gym battles now. Our rival battles now. That's great, hop. Thanks.
That's nice." But it was just, it's so many battles with him. I think I've had all the badges, and I think I've battled him 9 times.
Sounds about correct.
I think so. It's so many that I don't remember.
I did like the hop battles in the middle where he's yes. depressed because he was crushed utterly by Bede.
Yes.
And he's like, I need to change my style completely.
And he goes into like a soul searching mission, which is like this really weird middle arc, which is kind of cool. And I wouldn't have been annoyed with it had I not already battled him like 6 times prior.
Yes. But like, I was ready to battle him in Stoinside. Mm. And it's like, okay, so he starts with Wooloo. Let's go, Cinderace. You're going to double kick it. And then Cramorant shows up. It's like, oh no.
Oh no. Yeah, he just has a completely different team for like 2 battles.
Yeah, it's like, is this an imposter hop or something?
Yeah. I did enjoy that. Like, it was really nice. Maybe it paid off because I battled him so many times. But I was just so tired of battling him. I also think the cutscenes in this game are atrocious.
A little bit.
Because there was a moment in Hammerlock. I forget when in Hammerlock. I think it was right before the 8th gym. Something like that. So I was really, really annoyed with... I had a cutscene. I think it was right after I got the 8th badge, because you have because you have this weird Sonya moment where Sonya becomes the professor, and yeah. because there wasn't a lot of development, you don't feel anything, which made me sad, because this leads to another complaint in the story that I have. I wish I had good things to say about the story, but the wild area is cool. I promise.
The wild area makes it worth playing.
Yes. And like I said, I think the game's super front loaded. And if you play in like the first 3 gyms, I think it's a fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. I think when you get to the later gyms, that's kind of when everything starts to fall apart. And it makes me think that things were kind of rushed a little bit in this game.
Yeah. Because after the first 3 gyms, there was like the Opal arc, and then the...
Yes.
Then it was the Team Yell arc, and then you battle. Yeah.
And the Team Ryan. Yell arc is kind of weak.
It was... awful.
We'll get there. But there was a moment after I got the 8th badge where like I had, so you run into Sonya, and I'm gonna put a check mark there because we're gonna talk about why I dislike the Sonya stuff here in a second. But then like you do that, and then you like walk 3 steps, and then you hit Leon, and then Leon talks to you, and then you walk another 3 steps, and then Hop talks to you. And then yes. you go another 3 steps, and then Hop battles you. It is the most frustrating experience I have ever had, because it's just like, because the one thing I really like about Pokemon is I like having agency. I like being able to do things and go play Pokemon. I like being able to go out and explore the roots. I like being able to explore in Pokemon, and they just kind of take that away in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very frustrated about that. Have you seen that? You've definitely seen that part.
Yeah, I've gone through that part.
And how do you like that? How do you like those cutscenes?
I think they could have been paced a little better there.
Yeah, they were just not paced very well, in my opinion. It's not saying that there's not a story, but it was awful.
That's around the same. And right after that hot battle, let's see, earthquakes happen again. And they're like, no, you guys go on.
Yes.
This is for the adults to deal with.
Oh, my gosh. So I think that's a really big theme in mm-hmm. most of this game, is that a lot of things outside of the gym challenge happen around you mm-hmm. and not with you. So I'm going to just do some compare and contrasting with some past Pokemon games to kind of illustrate what I mean. So back in Gen 4, Professor Rowan goes, hey, we need more information on what's going on. Can you go to Canalave Library and go look this up? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to Canalave Library, you go look it up, and then you talk to Professor Rowan about it, right?
Yeah.
And everything that happens with the legendary discovery throughout the story is just Sonya already doing it and then just yes. kind of showing it to you.
And it's like, so what can we... diverge from this. It's a new tapestry.
Yeah, huh. It was so frustrating. Like, that was because it wasn't like a sense of discovery. It was a sense of watching Sonya make a discovery, which mm-hmm. I don't think was satisfying.
She wasn't an exciting character to follow.
No. It kind of felt like you had an acquaintance, and mm-hmm. then an acquaintance saw you and said, hey, let me bounce some ideas off of you.
Yeah, it's like, my grandma kicked me out. I have to go do something now.
That's kind of what it feels like.
And then she just latched on to like legendaries for some reason. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Or Galar history.
It was really weird. I'm not a fan of that. And the same thing goes with a lot of plot, like you were mentioning with Leon. Mm-hmm. There are two instances where something bad happens. Like there's a big boom or an earthquake. And Leon says, no worries, I got this.
Yeah. It's like, I'm the champion. I got this. I'm not Lance. I'm not going to take you into this hideout.
Right? That was that was the comparison I was going to make. I'm like, man, if only the Pokemon company knew how to write a story where the champion and you work together on a problem.
Where when Steven joins you going in through the Moss Deep Space Center in Emerald.
Yeah. When that happens or when, I don't know.
Cynthia.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It happens. And this time they're just like, nope, not going to happen. You're on your gym challenge.
Yeah. You were just waiting to join Leon to do something. And it's like, no, you go to your gyms. You need to go do that. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I didn't like that. I really didn't like that. I really wish we could have participated in some plot outside of the gyms. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing, like, it's all leading up to like a particular person who's definitely probably the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish there were more encounters where like that was kind of hinted at a little bit more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we had Lysander in Gen 6 where he's just like, I want to change the world.
And is non-specific about it at all times. It's like,
yeah. And you're just like, okay, you're the bad guy. But like, I don't know. Like the thing that really frustrates me is like, if you look at like X and Y, we even got like that aside at the Pokeball factory and yeah. we don't have anything like that. That didn't happen. It was just gym to gym to gym. And you don't get to go explore and like see anything that has like a rich culture. Like we even got that in, I think Sun and Moon did a really good job of tying that all in together with the trials.
It did. And they also had the library too, if you wanted to explore a little more.
Yeah. There was just like no exploration, outside of like do a gym battle or discover some kind of plot. And I think that's like, it's not that there's a lack of dungeon. It's just that there's a lack of B plot. You know what I mean?
Divergence.
Yes.
The most of the game is route, gym.
Especially in the later game.
Like, it takes forever to get to the first gym, but once you're there, you get into the pattern of route, gym, and it's like, oh, okay.
It's pretty bleh. I will say that. Mm-hmm. It is very bleh. I don't know. If I go gym by gym, the first three were fine. They're your standard, like, hey, fire, water, grass, that you're on Akala Island. There you go.
Mini games are fun.
Yes. You get to go on. They had good challenges. I really liked them.
Yeah. They were well put together challenges. I wish the gym challenge too.
Yeah. I wish that you could replay those a lot. But you can't.
Kind of like how they did with Sophocles' challenge with the Charger Bugs and Ultra Sun mm-hmm. and Moon. It's like, here's harder modes. You can play them. It's like, oh, cool.
I wish that we could play them some more, but unfortunately we can't. Mm-hmm. And so I think all that's really cool. I think 4th gym, 5th gym, 6th gym are all okay. They're pretty standard affair.
I liked Opal's quizzes just because they threw you off with the first question. Oh. It's like, what's Fairy's weakness, steel or poison? It's like, oh, okay. And then the next one's like, what was the last trainer you battled's name? It's like, oh, no. And then it gives you Teresa with two different spellings. It's like, oh, no.
Yep. It was pretty bad. It was.
What's my age? 16 or 88?
And the answer is obviously 88, but she still gets mad at you for answering that.
Yeah, you say 16, it's like, well, that's nice of you, and buffs your stats. And you say 88, it's like,
I thought that
you don't need to be so blunt.
I think that was probably that one and the Hammerlock Gym were both my favorite gyms out of this, because the Hammerlock Gym is double battles. And I thought that was really interesting. We haven't really had that before outside of Lisa and Tate, and it was done poorly.
Strategy between them. It's like, here's a Soul Rock and
Lugito. And this one was like planned. Like, this guy was just like, yeah, I have a strategy, let's go.
Yeah, it's like, my gym trainers are all weather types and I'm a weather type too.
Yeah, it was
I only have two dragons on my Pokemon team.
At the same time, I was just like, is this an advertisement for VGC?
That's how I took it too, just because it feels like they're taking so much single player out of the post game and saying PvP is where you need to go, and it's like, this is your test of VGC.
Yes.
This is where you should head after you're done with this game.
That's what it really feels like. And then I think like if you've played the game, and I know you have, but if somebody's listening to this and they haven't played the game, I think the biggest disappointment out of the whole thing is just Spike Muth.
A little bit, yeah.
I read the reviews and I did not believe it when I read the reviews, because like Eurogamer wrote like this really scathing review about how this game was like empty and soulless, and I thought the guy went a little overboard.
And then you get to Spike Muth.
And then you get to Spike Muth and you're just like, oh, and like, it's got this really cool Marnie plot, but like Marnie wasn't built up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into Spike Muth and it's just like, oh, go in the Pokemon Center. And the entire time I'm like, oh, cool, Po-Town 2. Let's do it.
No, it's a 2D beat 'em up from the 90s where you just walk down the street and two people come at you at once, but you only ever battle one of them at a time.
It's so lazy.
And the other one runs away when you beat the first one. It's like, oh.
Like, the only building you can go into Spike Muth, the town, is the Pokemon Center. And when you do, you just run to the Team Yell and they take you to their gym leader, who is the only one that is the only gym that is not capable of Dynamaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a minor league... which the game actually confirms to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a piece of dialogue that says, hey, there's a minor league as well. And
like, how does this become a gym?
Yeah. What is the bar? What is the bar? Right. Like
we didn't need the subplot of the minor league when you could have Unova and Black 2, White 2 with a mountain that was either filled with water or a volcano. And there was no explanation for that. And you didn't need one.
It can just be
a different gym leader.
I don't need too much explanation. I just need to know. I don't know. I feel like that town got gypped, you know, like especially in a game that is so quote unquote empty. You know what I mean? Because like I said, there's no Pokeball factory. There's no like a side. There's no like giant. There's no mall from what I can tell. Like don't most games like have dungeons, a shopping center.
Our dungeons, Galar Mine and Galar Mine number 2.
Oh my gosh. Don't even get me started. Like that was the first thing that made me go, oh no. Like when playing this game. Because I was like, I was enjoying it because like it is Pokemon. You get to go catch Pokemon. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I thought was fantastic about this game, by the way, that I wanted to mention, because I thought it was hands down the best thing for a Pokemon game. If you like catching Pokemon throughout your playthrough and you like trying to catch stuff, they did a really good job of like holding back Ultra Balls until you beat like the 5th gym.
Yes.
Which was the best because it made you use Great Balls forever.
I was using a lot of netballs.
Yes.
For bugs.
Yeah, you have to. I thought that was the coolest thing, though, out of the whole experience.
Luckily, I've graduated to repeat balls now, but...
I thought it was a very, very cool design choice in the game. Like, that was the one thing that I was just like, you guys thought about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I loved going to the Pokemon Center and checking what the new item was when you beat a gym. Yeah. It's like, is it Ultra Balls today? No. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I kept remembering. I'm like, where are the Ultra Balls? Get me the Ultra Balls, please.
Yeah, because the Pokemon levels kept going higher, and
they do get pretty high too. I am very impressed by that as well. Like, because after eighth gym, like, your Pokemon are like level 50.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, this is no Johto.
This is not Johto, and like the root Pokemon are still in like their 40, like low to mid 40s. And mm-hmm. I assume because I haven't gone to Route 10 yet to like essentially go to Victory Road. I'm assuming that when I get there, it's going to be something on the same order of like high 40s or something like that. And it's really like the leveling is very good in terms of wild. And I know there were a lot of reviews, and I want to just clear this up, that there were a lot of reviews about saying like, oh, the leveling's broken. And honestly, it's not.
It can be as much as you want it to, depending on if you raid and use the candies. But you aren't forced to use the candies, and you don't gain XP if you're just battling in a raid. So
This 100%. I think, is there anything else we want to talk about? Because we're at like 40 minutes. Because we've talked about most of it.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty happy about what we've covered.
I think the last thing, Dynamax and Gigantamax, how do you feel?
Well, I thought it was going to be okay, but it seems it's kind of broken because apparently you can use choice items and not have to be stuck into a single move.
What?
So Smogon is currently thinking about banning it possibly because you can run a choice scarf and get the speed boost and the HP boost and not get stuck into a single move. And it's just like, oh,
that's broken.
That's kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's bad.
Also, I'm disappointed in Gigantamax because it does nothing else to stats apart from the HP. And
really?
Yeah. And it just gives the secondary effects to moves. So
you just get G-Max. It's pretty much like, here's your Z-Crystal.
Pretty much. Except a lot of the times you're losing benefits that you'd care about.
Like Charizard.
Yeah, or Dreadnought, where your secret ability is Swift Swim, and you can't set water with your water attack anymore.
That does suck.
Right? So it's very, like, double-edged sword, and it's not worth it in a lot of cases, which is kind of disappointing.
That is kind of...
Well, no, we won't go into that one. That one's not in our 8 badges. So
yes, I know what you're about to talk about, but that's okay.
Yeah,
But I think, yeah, I'm not a big fan. Like, I think Dynamax, I think it's a cool, like, it's a fun little gimmick, especially for raids.
Yeah, it feels cool when you're battling against a gym leader and you Dynamax your Pokemon as well.
I just don't think PvP is going to be as balanced as they want it to be.
I don't imagine so, no.
Which is, oh man, I didn't realize it does that with choice items. Welcome to VGC 20 people. It's going to be a good time.
No one realized that. Oof.
That's a big oof. on that note, though, I think this is a good place to end. If you like this show or you want to listen to the spoiler episode comes out tomorrow. And if you want to get more Puckle in your life, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, wherever social media is sold. Instagram, that's the other one we do. All of those links to those are in the show notes. We're Puckle Podcast and all of those. If you want to watch some of us play Sun and Moon, or not Sun and Moon, Sword and Shield on Twitch, you can go over to twitch.tv/thePucklePodcast. You can also check out our YouTube channel where we're going to start putting up stuff to help you guys out with guides and stuff like that at youtube.com/user/PucklePodcast. Where you can get TM guides and stuff like that if you're having trouble finding stuff. I think we also need to do breeding guides. I've noticed a lot of people in the community are like new.
Right?
Yeah.
I was here in the XY days when you had to chain breed things. It's like, oh, I have a dragon. Now I have a male dragon. I can breed it onto this Gyarados to get it onto the Water 2 egg group.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, if you want to help support the show in any way, we really appreciate it. You can go over to Twitch, drop some bits in the cup, or you can go subscribe, or you can go to TeePublic, where we got a bunch of cool shirts that you guys can wear and support Team Grookey, or Team Sobble, or Team Cinderance, I guess. I don't know. Whichever one you like. And then, of course, if you want to support the show more directly and get some goodies, such as the, I think soon we're going to be giving out, at least to patrons initially, 6 IV dittos, hopefully by the end of the week. You guys can check us out at patreon.com/pucklepodcast and jump into that $5 tier or higher, and you can get in on that action. So with that said, I think that's everything. You good, Sigma? Yeah,
I'm good.
All right. So, yeah, we'll catch you guys next week for a regular episode of the Puckle Podcast, where I believe it's Sublime and Basket, and we're going to talk about something. I forget what it is. But yeah, until then, here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I've been Trainer Thatch.
I've been R Sigma.
And it's closing time.
We're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.